Okay, would you turn your Bible to the 2 Thessalonians, please? 2 Thessalonians. All right, verse 1, chapter 1. We're going to take a look at who the author is. Dana did not bring the Bible.
I could use my phone.
You're good. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop there. Who is the author?
Paul.
Rather obvious, right? It is obvious. The Apostle Paul wrote it around AD 51. A lot of scholars believe that a few months of the writing the first letter, few months after the writing the first letter. All right. Can I change the slide? Joe's not here, so we can move on. He's a slowpoke, huh? All right, let's take a look at the setting. As you can tell, I'm sure you read it, 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, there are several and many thematic similarities in this book to the first one. The apostle probably had received a second report after his first letter was arrived there. And still there is some problem lingering. The question regarding the end time prophecies. So several of the Paul's references indicate that some in the Thessalonica were deliberately misleading these new believers, even to the point of false teachers forging the letters to make them look as if they had come from Apostle Paul. And you may say, where did you find that? Chapter 2, verse 2, please. Chapter 2, verse 2. Not to be soon shaken in mind or the troubled, neither by spirit or by word or what? By letter. As if from us, as though the day of the Lord had come. Paul took extra care in this letter and make sure that the Thessalonians understood not only his view on regarding the end times, but also what his handwriting looked like. So next time when they see another letter, they can compare. They would be able to identify the letter as authentically as his. Go to 3:17, please. Chapter 3, verse 17. What does he say? The salutation of Paul with my own hand, in his own handwriting, which is a sign of every epistle, so I write. So in other words, here's the real one. So then when you get the letter that says from Paul, compare that with my real letter. It's sad that we have to do that kind of thing, huh? But then again, I said the same thing to our security team. It's sad that we have to have a security team in the church. And our security teams are very well trained, well armed. So you don't have to worry about it. All right, the purpose of this book. This book distinguishes itself by the detailed teachings that it presents on the end time. So Paul explained to them that this future time of tribulation had not come because a certain man of the lawlessness yet had not been revealed. Comparison with other passages in Daniel, Matthew, and the book of Revelation revealed this man to be none other than who? The Antichrist. Now, there are many Antichrists, Apostle John says that, but this one is the Antichrist, the main guy, the head honcho bad dude. The Apostle Paul, in concern for the Thessalonian believers, who were trying to stand firm in their faith under the pressure from the false teachers, taught the Thessalonians in this letter that their hope in Christ's future return should serve as encouragement to them in their suffering and motivating them to live responsibly for Him. Paul always connected his teachings on Jesus with a practical growth, and he expected to teach as a result of such a deeply held faith. Listen to me, please, brothers and sisters. Any of our teaching does not connect with Jesus is false teaching. You hear me? If it does not connect with the Word of God, if it does not connect with Jesus Christ, then we are not listening to the right teaching. There are tons of teachers who would teach anything but what Jesus said in the Word of God. Alright, structure. His letter has three sections which correspond with the three chapters. Chapter 1, Paul affirms the Thessalonian believers' faith in the midst of affliction. Did you get that? He affirms their faith. Chapter 2, Paul explains the prophecy they had been misinformed about. Chapter 3, Paul clarified the proper response to the truth about Christ's return. All right, so that covers everything. Thank you for coming. See you Sunday. Huh? Yeah. But last week, we looked into the little more in-depth for the book of, in the First Thessalonians, we looked into the rapture. So I think we should do the same thing. The end time prophecy mentioned in chapter 2. So let's go to chapter 2, verse 1, please. Now then, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord our Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Now, I want you to write down in the margin of your Bible, whenever you see the Jesus Christ, coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is not rapture. Okay? You understand? Coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is not rapture. It's the second coming of Jesus Christ. When it's a rapture, it clearly talks about it, because as I told you before, the purpose of the Bible prophecy is not for us to make a rapture calendar, nor to scratch our itching prophecy bones, but to build a godly character in us so that we may have a holy living. You with me? The Apostle Paul emphasized this fact in both his Thessalonian letters, and our Lord warns us not to set the date for His coming since nobody knows. Guess what? People still do. And people still fall for it. Thousands of people. And I have to agree with the P.T. Barnum. Suckers born every minute. Rapture is one of the most important events in eschatology. If you ignore rapture, if you ignore the rapture, you have ignored the good portion of the Bible and the power of God. In other words, anyone who ignores the rapture has no idea about the end time prophecy. I think I mentioned this. When I was involved with the prison ministry, the senior chaplain of the prison complex, I forgot his name. It's not important. Anyway, he told me that, well, rapture is not true because it's not mentioned in the Bible. And I was thinking, you're an idiot. Bible is not mentioned in the Bible either. It's okay. You can laugh at him. The word Bible means book. Rapture is clearly mentioned, and I told you how it was mentioned in its Latin word. Once the church is out of the world, Once the church is out of the world, Satan and his forces will unfold their program. The day of the Lord is the period. Did you get that? Day of the Lord is a period, not particular date. Period that followed the rapture of the church. It will be the time of tribulation for the people on earth, and Satan and his host will be working on earth, and God will send his righteous judgment from heaven. That's why you will see seven bowl judgment, seven trumpet judgment, all the other things to go along. Don't worry, you ain't going to be here, right? All the born-again Christian will be gone before that. All right, apostasy and the son of perdition. In verse 3, please. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Note that, please. And the man of... this is so good. No one, go back to verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Did you get that? First. And the man of sin is revealed in the son of the perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sit as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you now remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? I guess they had a Green Valley moment, huh? Go back to the verse 3, and I repeat it twice. Stay with me. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of a perdition. In other words, tribulation period, the day of the Lord, will not come until falling away happens. What is the falling away? What would be a falling away? Rapture happened, guess what? There is no resisting force. We're going to go there. We're going to learn that. There's no resistance against the worldly influence. I mentioned this to you. There's one force that's holding the flood of the world wickedness. It's the church. Of course, the Holy Spirit is behind. If the church is taken away, do you think Hollywood would behave themselves and restrain themselves? No. They will go full force. If you think of what we see is wicked, can you imagine what they will have in America on TV screen or movie screen? So obviously it's a pre-tribulation. Paul did not use the term Antichrist in this letter. This term is used in the New Testament only by the Apostle John in 1 John and 2 John. But this is the name we use to identify the last great world dictator, whom Paul designated as that the man of sin, the son of perdition, and the lawless one. They are all the same thing. Satan has been at war with God ever since he, as a Lucifer, rebelled against God and tried to capture God's throne in Isaiah 14. You might want to jot down Isaiah 14 somewhere and look it over. And after that, he tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden and through her caused Adam to fall, according to Genesis 3:3. You may remember, in Genesis 3, serpent came, that is Satan, conned Eve. Eve did not get the God's word correctly. She twisted her own opinion on top of it, and she took the fruit and ate it. And she gave it to her husband, Adam. Did Adam knew what she's doing, what he's about to do is wrong, he knew. That's why God put the more responsibility of sin on Adam than Eve. Satan will one day produce, perdition means destruction and complete loss of well-being. It is really the opposite of salvation. To call him the son of perdition means his character is marked by this destruction. Did you get that? Satan will one day produce his masterpiece, the Antichrist, who will cause the world to worship Satan, believe Satan's lie. Greek prefix word anti has two meanings. Against and instead of. So, against Jesus, instead of Jesus. Make sense? Satan not only opposed Christ, but he wants to be worshipped and obeyed instead of Christ. Make sense? Can I change the slide? Stay with me. It's important. So let's take a look at the Antichrist briefly. Go to Revelation chapter 2, chapter 6, verse 2. He is a peacemaker. And you said, I thought he's a destructive guy. He is. But at the beginning, he got to put out the facade. Chapter 6, verse 2. And I looked, this is Apostle John, behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and the crown was given to him. Okay, go back. White horse. Who would ride a white horse in Roman Empire? Not just any leader. The general who conquered the campaign. So he is the conqueror. And he is set on it, had a bow. He had the fighting capability, but you don't see the mention of arrow. Right? And crown was given to him. In other words, he was a conquering king with the authority, with the power of a military strength. But he's coming in peace. He went out conquering and to conquer. Certainly, this man will be in the scene before the rapture of the church. He will be a peaceable political leader who united 10 nations, according to the book of Revelation, in Europe into the strong power bloc. By the way, it's Europe. Stage is Europe. And European Union is already there, setting the stage. And I Googled it. How many countries in European Union? Used to be 29 until Britain exit. So 28 countries. And I thought, how are the 28 countries going to become 10? Merging. Really? I don't think so. They have their own sovereign power. Come on, give me back. Okay. Say it again out loud. Okay. Anyone else? I did a little digging. I read it somewhere. A European Union is divided into Eastern and Western region. And each region has 5 divisions. You follow me? 5 divisions times 2. How many? Some of the country gets mingled together. Not one country, but they are as one entity. Or some country will be 3. And some of them is a 3. Anyway, so there will be 10 divisions. The rider on the white horse imitates Jesus Christ. He goes forth to conquer peacefully. He has a bow, but no mention of a Error. He will bring a brief time of peace to the world before he revealed his true identity in the middle of the great tribulation. Think about it, folks. Let's say we are unbelievers. We are living the life carnal way, as you guys did it before, right? Doing drugs and all these bad things. And all of a sudden, several million people disappeared. Can you think about it? And you may say, so? Economy, okay, last week we lost 1,100 points on Dow Jones average, and that today we lost another over 1,000 points. In 2 weeks, we lost about 2,000 some point. Heavy blow. Many, many billions of dollars lost. Okay. It will be worse. You may say, what do you mean worse? Think about all the houses those Christian occupied. No longer house payment will be made to the banks. Credit companies, they cannot collect the debt. There will be a chaos economically. And simply just chaos all around the world. However, then they will turn it around. And they will try to make it as a good thing. And pretty soon people will forget about that situation. Out of the chaos, this conqueror emerged. The world will marvel at this great leader, and who, with Satan's power, will perform the signs and wonders and deceive the nations. He is also known as a protector. Daniel chapter 9, please. Daniel, right after Ezekiel in the Old Testament, right before Hosea. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. I'm sorry, verse 25. You there yet? Daniel chapter 9 verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the wall even in the troublesome time. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, and not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with the flood, till the end of the war desolation are determined. Verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for one week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And the wings of the abomination shall be one who makes a desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. And probably some of you are thinking, I don't get it. We cannot examine this portion right now in detail, but important for us to note several facts. First, this prophecy applies to Israel, Jerusalem, and the temple, not to the church. Many people take this as a church, especially post-tribulation believers. Second, it announced the time when the Messiah will come at his second coming, accomplish the certain purpose of the Jewish people, for the Jewish people. The Antichrist will temporarily solve the Middle East crisis, especially Temple Mount. Israel will be able to rebuild their temple on the Temple Mount with the help of the Antichrist. If you get to go to Israel, especially Jerusalem area, or if you meet Orthodox Jews in America, you ask them, Who is the Messiah? And they will answer, the guy who built the temple for us. Did you get that? The guy, the man who built the temple for us. Think about it. If there is a guy who make a peace in the Middle East and he's somehow managed to build a temple for them, do you think the Jews will practically worship him? Yes. They would think that he's the Messiah. And it's a sign of the... Okay, one more thing. This is important. It's a signing of the covenant, not the rapture of the church that signals the start of the 70 weeks from the Daniel, which is a 7-year period known as the Day of the Lord. Now, some people think that between the time rapture and the signing of a covenant is long time, like a Mark Hitchcock. That's why he said there will be a long period before the 7-year tribulation happened. I don't think so. Chaos will happen after the rapture, and this Antichrist will step right in. All right. Also, the Antichrist is known as a peace breaker. Peace breaker. Up to this point, the Antichrist has been a peacemaking leader of the 10 European nations, promised to protect Israel. But after the 3.5 years later, as we just read in Daniel's chapter 9, he reveals his true character by taking over Jewish temple and demanding that the world worshiped him. He will erect his statue and demand the Jewish people to worship that idol. And when the Jewish people realize that they've been had by this guy, and they're going to turn to Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ called it abomination of desolation in Matthew chapter 24 verse 15. It's a clear reference to the Daniel chapter 9, 27. There's another name for this Antichrist, persecutor. Satan will vent his wrath against Israel. And he will also control the world's economic system that citizens must bear the mark of beast, also known as a 666. There's a lot of Christian movies, cheesy Christian movies been made with the number 666, all that stuff. You know, I don't know if we actually go, we are not going to see it. They're going to see the number 66, actually. It's a mark of the beast and to be able to buy and sell. About 25 to 30 years ago, Spanish scientist, I don't know if you guys heard the story, invented the electronic device size of the rice, which is about a year tall, right? The thickness of the rice. It's an electronic device. They can input a lot of information in there. And they found that this particular device can be recharged with the human body temperature. And they said, how are you going to put it in and back up their hand, people's hand? You think I'm joking? No. They already did. After that, they did to the animals. Remember chips implanted to animals so they can find out which animal belongs to whom? And now, some of the companies, they don't hand out the access card. They implant microchips on the back of their hand. As they walk into the building, they go to the card reader, they go like this, door opens. When they need to start the computer, they stand in front of a computer, scan their hand, access. Will you get it? If you work for the company? We'll see. All right. But we have a restrainer. Verse 6, please. Chapter 2, verse 6. And now you know what is a restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. Verse 7. For the mystery of the lawlessness already at work, only he who now restrains will do so until what? He's taken out of the way. Did you see that? Any of you guys has different version other than New King James? What version do you have? Steps out of the way. Who else has a different version? Yes? Okay, taken out of the way. Anyone else? New Living Bible. They are all correct translation. But some Bible teachers misinterpret that portion. Why is Satan unable to reveal his man of sin, the Antichrist, sooner? Because God is restraining the force of the evil in the world today. Satan cannot do whatever he wants whenever he wants. Good example, Job chapter 1 and 2. He had to get a permission from God. Whatever comes to you, all the trials and tests, disasters, or seems like the world is crumbling down in your life, all of that was approved by God. And you may think that, wow, that's cold. No, it was approved by God as a curriculum for your godly character growth. So who is this restrainer? We can tell that it is the Holy Spirit who restrained the Satans and his demons in this world. Verse 7 brings up much confusion among the believers of Christ, including myself, long ago. At the time, I was taught by someone, and I believed that it was when the rapture happened, Holy Spirit will leave the earth with the believers. That was wrong teaching, and I believe in the wrong things. You know why? Because if the Holy Spirit is gone, for two reasons, and that theology is out the window. Number one, no one on earth can be saved. Holy Spirit is the force that brings people to repentance. And the Holy Spirit is the one who points people to the cross. Number two, that theology is horribly wrong because Holy Spirit is God Himself. Are you with me? That means He is what? Omnipresent. He is everywhere. He cannot be absent from somewhere. So, during the tribulation time, people come to know Christ, they get saved, and they get sealed, have the same seal from the Holy Spirit, and get to serve God. The Holy Spirit will be getting out of the way of Satan so that the devil can bring all this havoc, but not removed from the earth. Are you with me on this? Everybody understand that? Okay. Go down to verse 8, please. Can I change the slide? Yes? And then this lawless one will be revealed, whom the law from the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, and with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Some of your versions say lying miracles. That's great translation too. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the truth, the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. But they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had a pleasure in unrighteousness. That is such a great definition of an unbeliever. Do not believe the truth, but have a pleasure in the unrighteousness. Isn't that true? So mere with the mere breath of the Lord's from the Lord's mouth, on one side the fight will be over. In the beginning, the Lord spoke the world into existence out of nothing. Similarly, at the end time, and God will merely speak the words, and Satan and his cohorts will be vanquished into the lake of fire. I cannot wait for that time. Don't you? Just because someone has a spiritual power and signs and wonders, those are not good enough to prove that they are from God. Are you with me? Let's say you saw somebody doing miracle. Would you believe that that person is from God? Satan has a power. He's a spirit being. He can do a lot of things that beyond our comprehension. At the same time, there are some people think that Satan cannot do the real miracles. All he does is a deception. One of the guys who associate with the Calvary Chapel, he is an illusionist. He used to come to Calvary Tucson where we used to see him. And he's been keep calling me that if we like to have him at our church. I said, I tried to find a good excuse and said, no, not really. And so far, my excuse was, we don't have a place for you to do it. Now I better come up with some other excuse. He's the one who said that Satan cannot do the miracle. He says so. And another thing, another good example is Satan using the Egyptian magicians at the court of Pharaoh. Moses threw his stick, his rod down, and turned into snake. And all the other Egyptian magicians, they threw down their sticks and turned into snakes. Of course, Moses snake ate them all. Now he got the three sticks in one. Turning wooden rod to actual snake is quite a fit, don't you think? If that person, that illusionist said, well, it was an illusion. People could not see it well. If that's the case, it's more miracle because the snake, that was a staff, right? I combined the two words. Moses' rod that turned into snake at their rod. That's a problem. Now, think about it. When the Bible says it, it's what it means. Don't try to cover up just because you don't understand. Let it be. As the Bible says, there are some lofty things that we cannot understand. There are a lot of things that I don't understand. I just let it go. Deception can only take root in those who do not receive the truth from God's word. These people are ready for the deception of the Antichrist because they want a lie and God will send them a strong delusion. At the end, Antichrist will be also used by the glory of God, for the glory of God. I see so many people who are living in delusion. Alright, one application. The purpose of a Bible prophecy is not for us to make a rapture calendar, nor to scratch our itching prophecy bones, or to build a godly character, but to build a godly character in us. Those who love the prophecies, end time prophecies, please be careful. Okay, so you don't endlessly chase some silly prophecies that has no meaning. I remember a guy who trying to figure out the identity of Antichrist. He spent hours in studying reading newspaper and trying to look for anything and everything. He tried to show me the Portuguese king was the Antichrist. He came up with a formula. I looked at it and said, okay. And he asked me, aren't you interested in it? He said, no. I said, why not? I'm more interested in Christ, not the Antichrist. Isn't it better for you to spend the time in knowing Christ than Antichrist? Let's stand up and pray.